Hello, viewers. Welcome to yet another fabulous interview in the TeleSummit. It's about how you live, taking the fear out of conversations about advanced care planning, caregiving, serious illness, and grief. I am thrilled to introduce you to Lori Peterson, who is the creator of IDidNotKnowWhatToSay.com. That is her website. And her mission is to provide you with tools and resources to assist a friend or family member through the journey of restoring balance in their life after the death of a loved one. So welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Tina. It's great to have you be with you today. I appreciate you including me in your TeleSummit.
It's our honor. It's our absolute honor. So thank you for all that you're going to be sharing with everybody. Tell me a little bit about what inspired you to create the website.
So several years ago, my mom passed away when I was 24, from ovarian cancer. And one of the things that I found was I had a lot of support from my friends and my family during that time period. But as I started to share my story with other people, I found that that was not always the norm. People would not have supportive people around. They would say things that were hurtful or not helpful, or friends would just not be there. And one day I just decided to sit down and put together all of the nice things that people did for me and share that so people could, you know, if they weren't sure what to do for someone, they could come to our website and have ideas and think about their friends and family and what they might be able to do for them.
Wow, that's lovely. What a gift to everybody. That's wonderful. So I've got a few questions I want to go through. What would be your suggestion on how friends and family can support a loved one that is grieving?
So one of the things I usually tell people is that, you know, start with what your connection is with the person. If you're their best friend, you might be doing a lot more for them than someone that might be just an acquaintance. I know my best friends, two of my best friends were at the bedside with my family when my mom passed away, which was just, we were actually talking about this recently because it was the 24th anniversary of my mom passing away. And I was talking to them about how important that was. I mean, these were two people that were very important. They were like children to my mom and they were with us. They helped us call family members and do those types of things. And then we had friends that, you know, helped with the funeral and bringing food and taking care of us. One of my mom's friends was a travel agent. She did all our travel arrangements because we had to go to another state for the funeral. So people just stepped up. We had a friend that did financial planning. So my stepfather, he helped, you know, walk him through life insurance and all of those things. So, you know, some of it depends on what's your expertise. I mean, you know, our financial friend, he helped with all the financial sides, and, you know, some people that cook, they cooked. So, you know, kind of leaning on your strengths on what you can do best. Some people are really great listeners and can sit down and help someone that way. And some people are let's get out and exercise or go do something fun to help that way. So just kind of whatever your strength is, start with that. And usually that's the best because that's, you know, what you're good at and what you can connect with someone on.
So that's what people can do to help someone that's grieving. If you're the person grieving, what we find in our hospice work is caregivers oftentimes have a hard time accepting help.
Yeah.
So what would you say to that?
That's always a hard one. They're always the ones doing something. It's always best to maybe take a step back and realize that you have to recharge your own batteries. You can't always be there for someone if you've got nothing left. So, you know, it's really important to take a step back, and it's okay to take a day off or take a minute off to recharge and refocus yourself, because it is it's a lot of stress and strain on someone that's doing that. I've had several family members that have been in hospice, and we've had some wonderful hospice people that are just amazing. The one woman that worked with my mom was just, I can't say enough. She was just incredible. Yeah. I think really taking a time for yourself and making sure that's okay. Say that's okay for yourself, because you need it. It's
right. Needed. I work with a Native American medicine woman who's wonderful, and she had such a great lesson. You know, every year in the Native American tradition has sort of a theme, and it was 2010, if I'm not mistaken, that was the year of true generosity. And she said what that means is, yes, it's important to give, which are a lot of the examples that you just provided. If you're a good listener, if you're a financial planner, whatever you can do to help this grieving person. So it's an absolutely important to give and help others, but it's equally, not just a little bit, equally important to receive.
Right.
And she reminded us that, have you ever said to somebody, you know, oh, I'd love to come, you know, bring you dinner. And they say, no, 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 you know, I'm good. And it kind of hurts your heart just a little bit.
Right.
And she said, you know, that's kind of being stingy because you're depriving them of the joy of giving. So if we can just encourage caregivers or people grieving, and you've got sort of all these people that are coming around trying to help you, you know, learn to say yes. You know,
yes.
You know what? It would be great if you could mow my lawn. I'd really appreciate that.
Appreciate that.
Whatever it is.
Right.
So that, you know, when you're helping someone, when you're the one that needs the help and support and love and compassion, let them in. You know, let people in. I thought that was a really great lesson. And I love the fact that you said whatever is your strength. Like if you're the exercise person, or if you're the financial person, or if you're a great cook, you know, just go with your strength and offer that up to somebody.
Right.
That's a fabulous, fabulous idea. Another thing I wanted to ask about, finding the right words to say can be tough, really, really tough. What are some suggestions on what to say to someone that's grieving?
So some of it, I think, depends on your connection with the person. So if someone, you know, if they're a close friend, I think you can talk about memories that you had with that person that passed away and share memories with the person. You know, the kind of the common one is we're sorry for your loss, or, you know, our hearts go out to you. Those are kind of the cliche things that are said. And, you know, if you don't know the person that well, that may be the best thing that you can say, because you don't have a memory or you don't have that experience with that person. In my experience, one of my friends wrote a really touching letter about how, you know, he used to spend time with my family and my mom, and, you know, talked about how, you know, he knew this was difficult, but he knew that I was a strong person and I'd work through it. And it was just, it was very touching. And then I'd have letters from people that I barely knew. And it was, to me, it was very touching that someone would even take the time to send something. Like friends, relatives, a friend of mine's stepmother sent me a letter and just, you know, just said, you know, I'm thinking about you. You know, I just wanted you to know I was thinking about you and you're in my heart. And for someone that barely knows you to actually take the time to do that is, to me, is tremendous, because people are busy and they don't always think to do that. And so even the simple, we're thinking about you and that you're taking the time to do something is a lot to someone that's grieving.
It really is. And as human beings, we want to fix it sometimes.
Yeah. That's
we don't want you to be sad, and I want to try.
Right.
But you know what? You really can't fix the loss. I mean,
right. It
is what it is. And I think the simple, I'm thinking about you, I'm so sorry for your loss, you know, that can just be huge. It's not a tiny thing. It's a big thing.
Right.
In its simplicity.
The fixing thing is hard. I think people want, okay, it's the funeral's done. You're all better now, right? It's like, oh, you're not even started yet. So, yeah, and I think the simplicity, sometimes if you overthink it, then it gets awkward. And then I think a lot of times people decide, well, I'm not going to say anything because you feel like you have to write this dissertation and make them feel better and everything is going to be great because I wrote this letter for them. And it, you know, no matter what you say, that you're never going to be bringing that person back. And that's what that person wants.
Right.
And that's not going to happen. And they have to work through all the stages of grief. And but I think just even being kind and simple can be some of the best things, because I think people talk themselves out of writing a letter or sending a card because they don't know what to say. And it's better to say something than nothing, I think.
Right. And sometimes just holding space with them, just being just being with them. Doesn't have to say a whole lot, just be there, you know.
And that's usually better, actually. The less said is actually, that's actually better, I think, you know, the less said, because it gives the person a chance to feel or talk about whatever they're feeling at that time.
Right. So this naturally leads us into the next, sort of the flip side of that coin, which is what suggestions do you have on what not to say to someone that's grieving?
So that one, you know, I've seen a lot of articles lately, so I have some mixed feelings about this. I mean, there's some things that are hurtful. I mean, I've seen some people say things like, you know, your mother would be upset with you if you were grieving. I mean, that's hurtful. I mean, those kind of things are hurtful. You know, when someone has a miscarriage and say, you know, oh, you can always have another child. Mm-hmm. You want to kind of stay away from those types of things. Mm-hmm. I saw an article recently that said, you know, don't say sorry for your loss. And I was like, well, that's a little bit more complicated. You know, there's some hurtful things. My sister went to a wedding not too long after my mom passed away, and people were like, why are you here? Like, she wasn't supposed to go out and do things because my mom had passed away. So those things to me are hurtful.
Let me just ask, that the article surprises me, because to me, sorry for your loss is one of the best, easiest, most things you can say. What did the article say? Why were they suggesting you don't say that?
They had felt like it was too, I have to go back and think. I guess my cat's going to do it. She's been sleeping all morning and now she's decided.
She knows you're doing this, so she wants your attention.
Right. She likes to be the center of attention. So. Well, they were trying to focus away from, I'm trying to remember exactly what the article said, but it was, you know, it was more depressing to say we're sorry for your loss and just say you're sorry. And I'm like, well, I didn't really understand. Personally, I never really understand why that was such a big deal. And I had put it up on my Facebook page, and a lot of people that had gone through grief are saying, be thankful someone's saying something, because the worst thing is that people say nothing and they leave and, you know, aren't there at all. You know, be thankful they said something.
So. Yeah. And, you know, this really brings up I think, a pretty important point, that everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's, what works for somebody isn't going to work for another person. And two examples I can share with coworkers that work with me at hospice. One lady, her son committed suicide. And she actually took early retirement. I think she was getting pretty close to retiring anyway, but she sort of went ahead and took it because she was hurt that people didn't say anything.
Right.
That's
pretty common.
Ignored it, and it's very common. They ignored it. You know, death is awful no matter what the situation was. Suicide, I think, has its particular unique, difficult points about it. And she just felt like nobody cared. And when I say nobody, I mean, it was, I think, some of her close people that and maybe it was even family and friends outside of, you know, her coworkers, but just so many people didn't say anything. And then we got another person who lost her dad. And she's a very private person, and I saw her walking through the hall the first time I saw her after she had returned from work, and I went over to give her a hug, and she did this. So everybody's different. I think what we have to do is just respect.
Yeah.
Just try to find, and for employers that are viewing this telesummit, what we often suggest is when somebody's out on bereavement because they've had a loss, if you're a supervisor, ask that person, when you come back to work, what would you like?
Right.
Do you want people to, you know, talk about it? Do you want to be left alone? Like, what would be the most helpful and supportive thing your coworkers could do for you when you come back? Because some people are going to say, you know, just give me a hug. Some people are going to say, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Everybody's different that way. Everybody's different that way.
And especially when you first come back, it's a little overwhelming. I was gone for a month because I lived in Virginia and my mom was in California. So I had, I was there when she passed away. So I was there a week before and then with all the funeral. So when I got back, I had already been gone for a month, and it was very overwhelming coming back. And people were, you know, coming and giving me hugs. And I worked with students at that time. So all of them were, you know, like, wanted to talk to me. And it was like, oh, I can't. And it wasn't that I didn't want them to, it just, it was so overwhelming. So especially that first week back, I think people get very overwhelmed. And I'm usually a hugging person, but even that was just like, okay, I just
too much.
Get a minute to collect myself. And but I think it's important, especially for work. It is, and people are, I've seen people very different. My friends that don't want to talk about it at all, and then others that, you know, are upset that you're not talking to them about it. So it is something you have to gauge.
So this is such a big question. I don't want to leave it quite yet. So what are some of the other things that you people have said that you typically know they're coming, you know, they're obviously they're coming from a place of wanting to help
right.
support and show love, but what comes out of their mouth just really isn't helpful. So let's spend a little more time on that, because that is such a, again, this is a big struggle. People don't know what to say.
Right.
And they're afraid that they're going to say the wrong thing.
Right. Some of the other things that come up periodically is, you know, they're in a better place, and the automatic response is, well, that's nice, but I prefer that they be here still with us. You know, and that's, you know, that's heartfelt. Someone wants you to feel better that they're, you know, they're in a good place. And I guess my cat really wants to be involved in this. I'm sorry. She's always sleeping at this time. So that's, you know, that's another one. You know, so I did an article a while back, and I kind of talked about the people that are either overly enthusiastic, oh, things will be better, you'll get through this, and not really acknowledging that there's a process and that there will be grief. And then there's people that are overly negative, like, oh, you must feel like an orphan now. It's like, oh my gosh, I wasn't before, but now I am. So, you know, so people kind of go both sides. They either go overly positive and, oh, you'll get through this, and, you know, and just kind of gloss over the grief process, or they go overly negative and like, oh, you must feel horrible, or, you know, you must feel like an orphan, or, you know, kind of the overly negative.
They've been dead for 3 months now. You should be over it.
Yes, that's the other one, that get over it. That's probably the worst one, because I think people that haven't really lost someone significant in their life don't understand it's kind of a lifelong process. And to think that it's over in a day, okay, the funeral's over and you're done, and why are you still upset about this? It's like, wow.
Yeah.
They usually, people like that usually change their tune pretty quickly when they've lost someone.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend once, and she wasn't overly negative, but I had a miscarriage, and she was nice about it. But when she had a miscarriage, she emailed me, and she's like, I had no idea.
Right.
And that was like tremendous that she even remembered that we had talked about it, and that she had come back and said, I had no idea what you were going through at the time. I'm so sorry. And now I know.
And I'm very sorry for that as well. I've had a miscarriage as well, so I completely get what you're saying. But that really did bring up an example that I think is so true oftentimes. If you lost your mom, mm-hmm. and I had lost my mom, mm-hmm. one of the things to not say is, well, I lost my mom, I know how you feel.
Right.
Because your relationship with your mother is nothing, has nothing to do with my relationship with my mother. So you right. may have had the best mother on the planet, and I may have had a horrible mother, which I didn't.
Fabulous.
You know, and even within a family.
Yeah.
Three siblings, those are three different relationships with that parent. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know how I feel because you weren't in that relationship.
Right, right. Yeah. That's a hard one. You know, I usually feel a little bit better when I know someone else has had a loss, because I think they understand a little bit more. But it's kind of having that balance between telling them, oh, I know exactly how you feel, And at least being empathetic that I've been in the similar place, so I know some of the feelings that you may be feeling.
That's right.
So it's kind of that balance of, you know, trying to not jump to conclusions about how that person's going through the loss, but at least letting them know that you understand that a significant loss is deep. You know, it can bring up a lot of deep feelings.
Another important point our grief counselors will tell you is, if the griever, getting back to the one that says they're in a better place, which is, I think, a common thing for people to say, if the griever says they're in a better place, great. Don't take that away from them. If that's comforting to the griever, awesome.
Right.
Just don't you, as someone on the outside, put that on the griever, because to your point, they may say, you know what, sitting right here next to me would be the better place. So that's really not really helpful. So, you know, whatever the griever is saying, support that all day, every day. Just don't assume, which I think gets back to the best thing to say are the simplest, I'm thinking about you, I'm so sorry for your loss. So yeah, really, really tough topic and hard to get people to get their hands around what to say, what not to say. I mean, it's huge. It really is.
And I think the one thing I was just going to mention, what we talked about earlier, is just taking the cues from the person that's grieving is important, because they are. I mean, it is unique. And even someone who's been through a lot, I mean, I know each person that I've lost, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, so my needs may be different for each type of loss that I've had in my life. So, and the age the person is. So, you know, just taking cues from the person that's grieving, I usually is the best thing to do.
Right. Absolutely. What is one thing you would like those coming to your website to learn about grief? And you don't have to be one, but whatever the various things are that you would like them to. And I'm sorry, let me just go ahead and mention, if people missed it, the website is ididnotknowwhattosay.com.
So on the website, we have different notes that people have sent. Either people have submitted them to our website or their friends have sent them to me. So I want people to be able to come to the site and get ideas. So, and because everybody's unique, your friend's going to want something different than my friend might need, but at least we can give you tons of different ideas and you can say, oh, that one will work for me, or that one will work for me. So that's what I want. You know, there's no cookie cutter. I had somebody once ask me for, well, tell me exactly what to say. And I'm like, well, I don't know this person. You've got to, you know, feel out what that person will need, what your connection is and, you know, your relationship and how they're going through the process. So we want to give them tons of ideas so that they can look through and say, that one works for me. Right. And then they can put their own spin on it and you know, hopefully that works for that person.
Right. And you also have a lot of lovely suggestions for grief gifts.
Yeah, we do have different gifts. And, you know, kind of traditionally, I think people have given money if the family needed money to support for the funeral and expenses like that. I think in the last 10, 15 years or more, we've seen a kind of a growth of different grief gifts. So as, you know, as simple as a gift basket to a more personal item that may have the person's name on it. I give out a lot of holiday ornaments with the person. That seems to have been something that people really appreciate, because some of them you can actually put up year round, so it doesn't necessarily have to be on a Christmas tree.
Right.
You know, there's something that they can put in a window and kind of a nice little memory. But we have all different types of things. We work with different vendors that offer different types of gifts. And again, you know, some are planting trees and flowers for people. Some are figurines, blankets, you know, different things that people can give as a gift.
And to your point, I saw some bracelets that I guess would have the person's name on them.
Yeah, there's different jewelry items. There's also some, if someone's been cremated, there's lockets that they can put the ashes in.
I think that's really
different.
Special.
Yeah.
My sister, and you know what, I'd share it if I could even knew what it was, but I don't know where she found this. I think it's actually one of her children found a place that if you have the person that's passed away, their handwriting.
Oh. So
my mother, there was a letter that they had and she said, love you. And
uh-huh.
They took her handwriting that said, love you, and put it on a necklace.
So oh, that's wonderful.
Isn't that a great idea? So I apologize, viewers, for, I don't know.
We'll have to find out what that is if I can.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to put that up on the site. That's wonderful.
Jewelry. Yeah. So it was really special. It really was. And I think having something to remember people by that's that personal, you know, in your home, not just visiting, let's say people visit, like every Easter we visit the graveyard of the people that have died. But this is something that's more intimate because it's in your home or you're wearing a piece of jewelry or, really special. So I believe you are working on a new book.
Would you like to- trying to get that done. It's been in the works for a little bit. So it's kind of expanding on the website. So we're looking for people, actually, as your viewers, we're looking for people to submit those wonderful things that people have done for, you know, friends and family that really got a great response that you'd like to share. So that's kind of the premise of the book, is we want to share ideas and how it touched people's lives, so that when someone thinks, oh, there's nothing I can do, they could go to this book and say, oh, wow, this person did this, you know, for them. Or, you know, these are some different ideas that we can work with. And, you know, the most thing is making it personal and whatever, you know, it's personal for you, but to give people ideas. Because I think that's usually what people just get kind of stumped. They just like, well, I don't know what to do.
Yes, exactly. I think that's fabulous. So it really pretty much is taking your website and all the wonderful suggestions and supportive ideas,
right,
and putting into a book.
Right.
That's wonderful.
And I one of the things I've noticed is, you know, I've seen some other books that kind of focus on the negative, and I wanted to focus on all the positive things that people were doing, that people are, you know, that people are doing lots of wonderful things. Oh my gosh, she just really wants to be here. She's never like this.
That's okay. She wanted to be on camera. That's all right.
Yeah, I just never seen her like that. I didn't think they'd lock her somewhere.
She likes the topic. So I want to be respectful of your time. I'm really excited to share with our viewers that you are going to offer them a free gift.
Yeah.
So can you tell them a little bit about that?
So we put together a list of 25 different suggestions that people can do for their friends and family. And so it's just a little ebook that you can download. I think you'll have it as part of the summit.
Sure will.
And just, it's, you know, a number of different suggestions on what people can do for their friends and family if they've lost a loved one.
That's wonderful. Because again, this is, you just, some people are just so stumped and they do nothing. So I think that's a wonderful tool. Like, here's some great things you can do that other people have found really helpful.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. It's like some people think, oh, well, I just sent a card, so that's okay. And maybe that's okay for them. I was interviewing a website company once and to do, you know, some marketing. And they're like, well, why would you need this site? I was like, wow. He's like, you know, don't you just send a card and that's it? I decided that's not the company I wanted to use.
Yeah. You know, there was a play years ago called something like When the Casserole Stop.
Yeah. That's
Maybe it was After the Casseroles, something like that. Right. So it's, you know, you have all that rush of attention during the funeral and then.
Right. Yeah. And usually, you know, that month after is probably the loneliest, I think, for people, because that is when the casseroles stop and people think, oh, okay, they're back to their normal routine and things like that. So, you know, it does get pretty lonely at that point.
Yeah.
And that's when you do need people to check on you. And I was at a Rotary meeting once, and one of the women we were talking about, after she lost her husband, one of the Rotary members just showed up at her house every couple couple days to check on her.
Oh.
She said, you know, it was that time that she didn't really know how to ask for help. And it was the time that she needed it the most. Because, you know, everybody had gone back home or gone back to their lives. And that's when it was really starting to hurt her deeply. And this woman knew it. And she just kept coming by.
That's lovely. And yeah. I think a lot of people, if you can remember, not necessarily the anniversary of the death, but like if you know the person well enough that you know whoever died, like when their birthday comes around, that's really hard.
Right.
If it was a dad on Father's Day, that's going to be
right.
a tough day. Holidays are going to be a tough day. Anniversaries are going to be tough. So if
right.
you can be a little sensitive on those special, especially the first one.
Yeah.
And maybe try to reach out on those days. It's nice.
Yeah, it's always my old roommate used to do that for me, and a friend of mine lost her dad last year, and I had sent her an email on that day, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe you remembered," and she was like, "Wow."
Yeah,
so it is. People do appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, their immediate family obviously remembers,
right?
But to have friends that. Say, oh, this is a significant day for you, and we remember it with you.
Well, Lori, you have taken on such a obviously a heartfelt passion for reaching out and trying to help others in just the most difficult, I would say, the most difficult time of anyone's life.
It's
when you lose somebody and you're dealing with that loss, and it's just such a gift, I think, that you've given people. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that our viewers will be able to reach out to you and know how to maybe get some pointers and tips and help on what do I do, what don't I do kind of thing. So again, everybody, this was Lori Patterson, and her website is IDidNotKnowWhatToSay.com, which is such a perfect website. She is in Alexandria, Virginia. And Lori, thank you so much. This has just been an honor. You're doing wonderful work. And just thank you for sharing all your wonderful ideas and tips to everybody.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate being part of this. And if any of your viewers have suggestions they want us to put on the website, we'd love to hear from them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can't wait to hear when your book comes out.
Yeah.
You'll have to post it.
We'll let you know as soon as it's done.
Yes. That would be great. That would be great. That would be great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.